What is revelation, right? You want to know what revelation is? Yeah? So it says, Moshe Kibbul Torah is Sinai. Moshe Kibbul Torah from Sinai. Right? Did Moshe receive Torah from Sinai?
No.
No, he didn't receive Torah from Sinai. He received Torah from who?
God.
So why does the Mishnah say he received Torah from Sinai? You received Torah from a mountain?
No.
So why, what do we care where he received Torah? He cares where he received it?
You want to make it difficult.
Huh? Do we care where he received Torah from? From Sinai? But who cares? Where it should say, Moshe kibbel Torah from Hashem, and he passed it over to Yeshua, and Yeshua passed it over to the Zkenim. Why is it Moshe kibbel Torah from Sinai? Right?
Everybody was there. Everybody can testify to Sinai.
Okay, but it doesn't say everybody was there. It says Moshe, we're talking about Kabbalah for Torah.
But this is the mission of us, right? We know, we've read...
Yeah, but it's all about Kabbalah Satorah. That means there must be something about Kabbalah Satorah which is associated with Sinai. Right? Sinai. What's
it could have said Bessi, it could have said at Sinai.
Could have said at Sinai. It didn't say at Sinai. It said, Rosh Kibbul Torah mis Sinai. From Sinai. That means Sinai is important to the Kabbalah Satorah. It's an important element to Kabbalah Satorah, right? Why? Question? Good question? Why? Alright. What does Sinai mean? What does Sinai mean? So we know. We know the Midrash. You know, everyone who's a little school kid knows this Midrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and asked all the mountains, do you want to get the Torah on you? And they said, and Mount Carmel said, yeah, I'm the biggest. I want the Torah, right? And Moshe said, and Har Sinai, who was the smallest mountain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah on the smallest mountain. Why?
Easier
to climb, that could be a reason. But Moshe didn't have that problem with climbing exactly, but okay. Why he gave on the smallest mountain?
It was the most humble.
Most humble. So Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai, Kabbalah Satorah is dependent on humility. And that's what Chazal says, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Moshe, right, spoke to God, panim el panim. He had what's called aspergloria hameira. That means if you look at there's a Mishnah in Kalim. Mishnah says if you wear some, the Rambam explains like some sort of glasses which are with schuchis, which are with glass. So it's called aspergloria. They're called aspergloria. The Mishnah in Kalim. Aspergloria means you clearly see through them. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a nevuah which you clearly saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was direct view of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his will. That's the level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. How he got to that level of revelation? Because of his humility. The Pasuk in the Torah says, after that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke panim mul panim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk in the Torah says, the Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person on this earth. You with me? You understand? So, Mis Sinai, in order to receive Torah, let's say from Hashem, because even if a human being was to receive Torah from Hashem, and he has his own things which prevent him from receiving completely the Torah, there will be part of him in that revelation. Moshe Rabbeinu had aspergloria hameira, a clear view of that revelation, a clear view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he forgot it. He learned and he forgot it. He learned and he forgot it. Until on the 40th day it was given to him as a matana. It was given to him as a present. I.e. Torah is not something we can receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can be mesig. We can reach that level. Ultimately, even though we're trying to learn it, it is a matana. And the matana of Torah, that's Zman Matan Toratenu, the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the present of the Torah. It's a matana. It's not something we can reach. All we can be is a vessel that is clear through which the Torah can pass. And that's why we say Moshe Kibbul Torah Mi Sinai, from a place where is Sinai, which is ultimate humility. Therefore, there was nothing of him being transferred in the Torah. You understand? That's the important message. The other Nevi'im had their own... They didn't have aspergloria me'ira. They weren't the level of Moshe Rabbeinu with regards to the humility. So therefore, the Nevuah was Derech Mashalim, was Derech... parables. It wasn't a clear. The Torah is not written in a parable. The Torah is written in a clear way. Clear in the sense that it was clear transmission of Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu. You understand? Now, that's not something. It wasn't dictated. He didn't dictate him. It wasn't a dictation there, you know? He received it and then he wrote it down. He received it and then he wrote down his complete understanding of it as it was being given over to him. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said those words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say exactly those words to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like you know, like Lahavdil, right? When you know, you have these computers now, you have Wi-Fi. You know what Wi-Fi is, right? When you have the Wi-Fi is going across, is the computer communicating with this computer, right? You're going Wi-Fi from one computer to another computer, or from the internet to the computer. Oh, I shouldn't say that word in this year, right? Sorry. No. You go from there to your computer. So you have Wi-Fi. Is it communicating? Is it saying A, B, C, D? No, it isn't. It's some sort of binary code. And that binary code means certain things which are being expressed. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hear these words from Torah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He heard he was mesig the Torah. He understood the Torah, and it was given to him as a level that he understood, and he understood that that Torah which he was mesig meant these words. Do you understand? That binary code means this.
How do you know it's from Hashem?
How do we know it's
from
Hashem?
How did he know it's from Hashem?
What do you mean, he spoke to him. What do you mean, how do you know it's from Hashem?
He had a conversation with him.
Not that, hey, hi, you know, no one sees this old man with a little beard. He says, oh, hi, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, this little man with a beard. Oh, you're the big man with a beard? No, that did not go. You daven?
No.
Okay. We have no concept of how he got from Moshe. No concept. We have no concept of what it is to speak panim mu panim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have no concept. How do we have a concept? Even the Avot, we don't have the concept of the Avot. The Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Chazal say they were Merkava Lashchina. What does it mean, Merkava Lashchina? What's a Merkava? You know what Merkava? It's a chariot. It's a thing. What is it? You have a chariot, you have someone guiding the chariot, right? That means the person on top of the chariot, he's the one guiding the chariot. And the horse doesn't walk by himself. The guy on top of the chariot tells the horse to walk, right? Avram was Merkava Lashchina. He represented Midas HaChesed. That means the Gilui, the revelation of Midas HaChesed that came into the world came through Avram. The revelation of Midas HaDin in the world came through Yitzchak. The revelation of Midas HaEmes came through Yaakov. They were Merkava Lashchina. That means every action that they did was a revelation of that Midah. There was nothing that they did which was their own action. It was the action of HaKadosh Baruch Hu representing that Midah. That's why they became part of Chumash. Because when we're learning Chumash about Midas HaEmes, we're learning from Yaakov, how he behaved, how Yitzchak behaved, how Avram behaved. You understand? It's part of Torah, because that's the Midah. Moshe Rabbeinu was a complete revelation of Ratzon Hashem in the world. It was a matana, we explained. It was a present given over to him. It was Hasaga. And it wasn't a human Hasaga. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level. He didn't drink or eat. He was a level of the Malachim. The Malachim, when he went up to receive the Torah, says, what's Yilud Isha doing here? What are you doing here? This is the place of Malachim. What are you doing here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, hold my throne. There wasn't a wooden throne over there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting in this big throne, wooden throne. It represents the Malchus. He was in a place. Now, it doesn't mean, when you say you're in a place, it doesn't mean physically your legs and your hand. His goof was down on the mountain, right? But his neshama was there with the Malachim. He was in the spiritual worlds. That's what it means. He saw clearly this in the spiritual worlds who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is his Torah. And that Hasaga of Nevuah is what he revealed in his Torah. You understand?
What if he wasn't as humble? What would happen then?
Well, they did a DNA test or a carbon data test, how humble he was.
No.
In order to do that, they had to find his grave first.
No, but he received the Torah. Well, who received the Torah if he was not so humble?
No, look, there were other people that received Torah. There's Teresh Baal Peh. Teresh Baal Peh is something different. Kabbalah, Teresh Baal Peh was also given with Teresh Bichtav on Har Sinai. But it's the Torah says he was the most humble that a human being can be. He was completely humble. And the Pasuk says, Anachnu Ma. He was a Shliach. He was an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was.
Can you define humble for a minute?
Humility means all the potential that you have, You express it completely according to the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's humility. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. He was just a vessel through which the Kodesh Baruch Hu's rotzon passed through. That's ultimately what a person has to be. Has no free will. Ultimately, a person's humility means that I have no free will. I am just a vessel through which a Kodesh Baruch Hu passes through me. I'm just an extension of him in the world. That's what a Jew means. We spoke about it. That's what a Jew means. That's what the Shem Hashem means. That's what a Jew means. To be that level. Okay? That's what we're talking about in terms of revelation. Yeah, humility for us.
What can we aspire to? We can't aspire to
this. Yeah, we can. The Rambam brings down that a person can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So what it means a person can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? We can't be like Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kam b'Yisrael kamoshe. Right? So what does it mean to be on the level of a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Just as Moshe Rabbeinu was a vessel to express a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will in all facets of himself and to express himself in a complete way, so we also can be that vessel to express who we are on our level in a complete way. That's what it means to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. He received the Torah for 40 days, then he came down with the Ten Commandments.
Were they from a tablet?
They were tablets. The first tablets were made by Hashem and inscribed by Hashem. The second tablets he made, and they were inscribed by Hashem. We have no clue. The Shivrei Luchot were in the Aaron, but the Otiyot, after he broke the Luchot Rishonot, so we still had the tablets in the Aaron HaKodesh, but the Otiyot were Poreach, they went up. They left the tablets after he broke them.
That's a midrash.
No, you have to understand something. These are tablets that Hashem made and Hashem wrote. So we're talking about when the Otiyot, when he broke them, this is a spiritual thing we're talking about. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't look like us. Adam Rishon didn't look like us. Avraham Avinu didn't look like us. Let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Is this a Gemara? Gemara says, if the Rishonim, Doros HaRishonim, right? Doros HaRishonim, if they were Bnei Adam, they were people. Right, I'm a person, you're a person, right?
More or less.
Okay. You know what a donkey looks like? How far are you away from a donkey?
3 million years.
3 million years? Okay, great. 3 million years, fine. So this is what the Gemara says. Doros HaRishonim were like men. Doros HaRachronim were like a donkey in comparison to the previous generation. That means the Amoraim, in comparison, I don't know if it's the Amoraim, it could be within the Tanaim itself, I'm not sure. Whatever we call a different generation is a donkey in comparison to a man. How far are you away from a donkey? 3 million years? I don't know however many years you want it to be, right? So that's a difference in generation in terms of spiritual. So how far are we away from Avraham Avinu? How far away are we from Yitzchak? We can't even talk about these people. And the Gemara says more. And not like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. The donkey of Pinchas ben Yair, because he had such a holy person who owned him, the donkey didn't eat untithed food. He only ate kosher. A donkey only ate kosher. And he says, we're not even like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. What's the Gemara trying to teach you? The Gemara's not trying to teach you you're a donkey. The Gemara is trying to teach you that the difference in spiritual level between our generation and the previous generation is like a difference between an animal and a human being. And we all are very clear about that. If Adam HaRishon was here in this room, even after the Chet, even after the Aveira, forget before the Chet, we wouldn't even see him. Because he was in a different spiritual world. He wasn't in the same low physical world we are in. He was in a different spiritual world. The Avot, they would look at some sort of animal in comparison to them. I mean, you know, some people would say there was a Neanderthal man and they became us, the Homo sapien, right? We're the clever ones. We're the ones who are modern. We know everything. These were just cavemen. We don't hold that way. These people were spiritual people. They were high-level people. It could be at the time of Avram, when there was the beginning of civilization, even called to historians, that's the beginning of civilization, there were people. I mean, look at the Egyptians. Yeah? The Egyptians weren't such nice people, right? I mean, you're reading about them now, right? They weren't such great Hasidim, great such big tzaddikim, were they, right? But look what happened in Mitzrayim. They built these pyramids. Till today, they don't know how to build those pyramids. Till today. It's probably it was done with kishuf. It was probably done with sorcery or something like that. I don't know. I'm sure the Egyptians had dominion on the spiritual worlds, the lower spiritual worlds. Paro said he knows Elohim. He understands Elohim. That means he understood, he was tofes, he understood that concept. He had dominion unto Elohim. Only Hashem, he didn't have dominion. We don't even know what that means. Even spiritual people, they know what that means. What are we talking? These people, they were the sea of Tumah, the sea of the opposite of spirituality. There was a lot of spirituality in the world then, which we've lost. Today, if we don't go out without sipping something or eating something for more than 5 minutes, right? But we're not, you know, like, something's wrong with you. I mean, look, we eat a very good lunch, we eat a very good meal, and then we have, in the meantime, oh, there's cake break, and then there's a cup of tea, and then there's a mint tea, and then there's a nana tea, and then there's a, what else is there, right? And then we're going to have a little bit more cake, and it's not sufficient, the cake in the yeshiva, so we have to buy our own cake, and a bit of chocolate, and a bit of thing, right? We're eating the whole day. Come on. We're half animals. And forget us. I'll tell you, I told you this story. People of our generation, forget, you don't have to go 10 generations. People just 50 years ago, they didn't have what to eat when they were learning Torah. Didn't have what to eat. The children were dying, were not dying, but they were starving and they were learning Torah. I'm not saying we should do that. We're not on the level. We starve our children, they'll go off the derech. They didn't sleep. Can you go a few days without sleeping?
They had this chemistry exam once?
Once for a week. I'm talking about, I saw my Rosh Hashiva. I saw him. He lives, he's around, he goes hello to him. I saw with my own eyes. Not one day, 2 days, years. He never went to sleep on a bed. He slept, how did he sleep? He used to sleep like this in the base of Medrash, his head down like that. Or he used to lie down like this. I used to see him in the middle of the day on a wooden bench, going like this. Must have been a 70 or 80 year old man, going like this, waking up, going like this, waking up.
You
thought about it. Yeah, okay. He's a person who exists. He doesn't have cups of tea every 5 minutes or pieces of chocolate. Or, right? It's a different level. How these people, you know how much Torah he retains? You've seen Shas. Well, that's done. Oh, Yerushalmi. You know, there's people in this Jewish world who know all of Shas, word for word, all of Yerushalmi, all of the Sefta. Go just test them out. You can pick up any book. Don't go. Take all of the books with you. Go up and say, I want to see if you know all this. I don't believe you'll find in the secular world anyone that knows all of this, including the details. That amount of information? Because you can't know so much information through just human effort. It's a present. Spirituality ultimately is present. You with me? Understand? So that's what explaining the revelation. Now, well, the other time. Now, what was the tachlis of coming out of Egypt? What was the purpose coming out of Egypt? We know. No. What was the schus? It's a Rashi, Chumash Rashi. What was the schus that we had that enabled us to come out of Egypt? Really, we should not have been allowed to come out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu said it. He saw Dal Turim. He saw people speaking Lashon Hara. He said, what schus do these people have? What do you want schus? They put on tefillin. What do you want schus? They keep mitzvahs. Well, obviously that wasn't enough. What do you want schus they have to come out of Egypt? They're Jewish. It's enough. What's enough? The only schus that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that we had to come out of Egypt was Matan Torah. Otherwise, we would stay there. We would receive the Torah. Otherwise, we would stay there. Now, what is Shovavim? Shovavim.
That doesn't make sense. You said the schus that they had to leave Egypt is because they were.
We're going to receive the Torah. It's Chumash Rashi. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to give them. When they were going to leave Egypt, the purpose of leaving Egypt was to receive the Torah. The tachlis of Klal Yisrael, the reason Klal Yisrael were brought into the world. I mean, let's go back. What's the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is what? Hello? What's the purpose of creation? This is going to be related to your topic.
Have a relationship with Hashem.
Good. In order to have a relationship with Hashem, you have to know what He
wants
from you. So there has to be a time, in the period of time, in which that has to be told to you. Yes? There has to be a revelation in order to know what we're here for, right? Someone has to explain to us what we're here. It's not so easy. You didn't work it out for 21 years back there in America, did you? No. So, and even here, after 2 years, you're still stuck with some of the questions, right? 1 year. Okay, you're still stuck with some of the questions. By the second year, they'll be clearer. It's not such an easy question to understand. People spend, if you're clever, 120 years trying to work out that question, even with the Torah. It's not such an easy question to work out, why am I here? Not an easy question. There has to be some help in order to find that out. That's what Torah is about. So, there was the Chet of Adam HaRishon. I'm not going to go into the old details. But in the Chet of Adam HaRishon, very simply speaking, there were two parts. There was the Chet that he himself did from eating the Eitz Hadas, and then his separation. This is a Gemara in Erevin. His separation from Chava. This is explained in Shovavim. His separation from Chava for 100... and Kal Shanim, 130 years, he was separated from his wife. The Gemara says that he had issue. You know what issue is? He had what's called, how do you describe it? From the organ through which we breed. If something comes out from that without being together with your wife, that's called an issue. You understand what I'm talking about now?
Yeah.
You mean an emission?
An emission, yeah. He had an emission. That's what Gemara. Now, try and understand what we're talking about. We're not... What did Avram... Adam HaRishon do those 130 years? He was sitting there doing tshuva on his Aveira. For 130 years, he was doing tshuva and he was having emission. That was what Gemara says. The Gemara says, this is now brought down in Sfarim, that those emissions of Adam HaRishon is actually were came back into the world because all of the neshamas of the Jewish people and the whole world are basically the neshama of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was a very big guy spiritually. You are some part of Adam HaRishon. Your neshama is some part of Adam HaRishon. We're at the end of the generation, so we're the feet of Adam HaRishon. Some of us are the toenails, some of us are a higher bit, you know, the higher bit of the leg, maybe the, you know, we're lucky, the ankle a little bit. We're the lower parts of Adam HaRishon. Who fixed the eating of the Eitz Hadas of Avraham Avinu? Adam HaRishon? That was fixed by the Avos and the Shvatim. The reason we're still in Galus is because the final fixing between the Achim of Yosef wasn't properly fixed. It wasn't properly fixed because of the fight between the brothers. I'm not going to go into it. The hatred or the fight, whatever, between the brothers. It wasn't completely fixed. So... I'm not going to, and that's the reason for our Galus, because that makes the Chet of Adam HaRishon not completely fixed. And the ultimate fixing is going to be between Yosef and Yehuda. That's why we find the Navi says, when Yosef and Yehuda come one together, that brings on Mashiach. You need a Mashiach ben Yosef, who will bring on Mashiach ben David, which is Yehuda. That's Vayigash Yehuda. That's the remnants of Vayigash Yehuda. And the Navi there says, eight Yehuda and eight Yosef will be one. I'm saying this very quickly because I'm getting onto Shovavim. Shovavim is about. Now, where did the Jewish people come from? Avram, obviously, part of us came from the Avot and Avram Avinu. But part of the Jewish people are these issues that came out of Adam HaRishon. These nitzotzot, these lights of Kedusha, which came out of Adam HaRishon, are the Jewish people through Gilgal. It says
Kedusha,
this is Arizal.
Kedusha, those emissions
were Kedusha? Yeah, they were Kedusha. But Adam HaRishon separated from his wife because he didn't want to have anything bad anymore. He didn't want, he he wanted to purify himself. He didn't want to have any children who would be contained in them Ra. Because if Adam Rishon had any children before those 130 years, it would have been a mixture of Cain and Shem.
Say it in English.
It would be a mixture of good and evil. He didn't want to have a mixture of good and evil the second time. He wanted to have a child that would be completely in Kedusha. That's why he separated, to remove from himself that which was bad. That which came out of him was that which was bad and needed fixing. So that when a person, now we don't understand this, when a person has an issue, it's a spiritual thing which is being created. It's not only just a little bit of DNA. There's something spiritual there that's being wasted. The Rambam says when a person has an issue, he removes memo'or enav. He loses some of the light in his eyes. He loses part of his spirituality. Start of his issues is part of him. Okay?
What kind of issues? All kinds of issues?
All kinds of issues, yeah. Okay, now, well, if you want me to speak about this? So, the Jewish... Now, it's brought down B'Shem the Ari. The Ari says as follows. He says, these issues came back, right? When did they came back? B'dor ha-mabul. They came back, they were mitgalgel into the people of the generations of the mabul. Right? Of the generations of the flood. So it says, these nephilim... It says, Nephilim, since an issue is something which falls from a person, so he says, you had Nephilim. Remember you learned Nephilim? These people who fell from heaven? Said, they were fell, because they came from a place which was falling place. So too, he said, what was the Avera of the Dor HaMabul? It was Gilu Arayas, right? Gezel, right? And Shvichus Dom, right? Gilu Arayas and Gezel, right? It says, to understand it means Gilui Arayos is the same concept as falling, because it's giving out, it's giving of yourself in an improper way, in an improper expression. You understand what I'm saying? So they were the Gilgul of the Dor HaMabul. They needed a further Gilgul. When was the next Gilgul? The next Gilgul was the Tower of Babel. I'm explaining quickly because I want to get to Shovavim. The Tower of Babel. What was the Avera in the Tower of Babel? In their speech, they spoke Dvarim Achadim, they spoke together Negid Hashem. Rashi says, they killed Hashem. They put Tmichot, they put, like, how you say things, you know, when you make a building and you're like breaking down some of the foundations, you put stuff to hold it up. Scaffolding. They put scaffolding to hold the roof of Shemayim. Why? Why the Tower of Babel? What does it mean? They put scaffolding so the Shemayim wouldn't fall down? You heard that one?
No.
Doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make at all sense because we don't understand it. But the Zohar explains as follows. They wanted to create a place. You have to understand what Chazal says. If you understand it, it makes sense. They wanted to create a place which was the antithesis of Beis HaMikdash. Just at the point of Beis HaMikdash where Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Is a point where Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world and his Shefa is brought into the world, his influence is brought into the world. So Babel was the place which is the lowest part of the world. It's called Shinar. Why? Because all the Meite, all the people who died in the Mabul were Minenaer Sham, were collected there because it was the lowest place in the world. That place, which is the lowest place in the world, they wanted to make something which would negate Hashem from the world, i.e. the world would go and would work without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's influence, i.e. there's Babel and there's Yerushalayim. You understand? Zeh keneged zeh asa Elokim. The chet was b'chet b'dibu, dvarim achadim. The person understands that's now the same chet. Because chet dibu, your mouth, is what's called your gilui of your das, a revelation of your das, right? Down there, Chazal say, ein kishui el el das. You don't get excited unless you think. You understand what I'm saying? Das, that's also a revelation of your das, and here also is a revelation of your das. If you're speaking words of Torah, words of Derech Eretz, that's a proper gilui of your das. if you're speaking dvarim betalim, words of no need, or dvarim asurim, words which are asa, that's also considered an issue. That's because your neshama is leaving you for nothing. The Gaon Mivilna says dvarim betalim is a concept of shazal. That's what it is. It's a concept of expression, wrong expression, which is going to waste. So their Avera was an Avera in Dibu, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu came and mebalbel the world, made a separation of the Loshon. Right? We're not going to Dora Marble. Then, let's go. Okay. He didn't do it purposely, Adam Rishon. That happened indirectly. That happened without him. But that happened because he didn't want to happen, but it happened because of the tshuva. It sounds like the tshuva caused that to happen. Part of him, which was not proper, left him.
Why did you do it so he can't control?
No, he didn't do it purposely. It's something that which happened. It's like,
but he wants that to happen.
Didn't want it to happen. He wanted it to do tshuva and it wouldn't happen. But it had to happen. The Gemara says it happened l'onso, happened by itself without him being able to control it. We have to understand. We're not talking about a human. We're not talking about like we understand a human being. We're talking about a spiritual being. This concept is a spiritual concept. What he created lower spiritual worlds when this happened. The lower spiritual worlds were created at that time with this step. Nothing he could do, but the lower spiritual worlds came about because of his chet. It was mukhrach to happen. It had to be that way because of his avera. Okay, let's get to show. You guys are following? What I wanted to talk about. What was the other topic?
Someone
shopping scandals, but he's gone.
Yeah. He's gone? I think it was today was a little bit too much. I should have done something simpler.
It's better if you just come and teach the topic that you think is
important. No, I liked it. I mean, I did lose a little bit
with the
Adam Rishon.
Yeah, maybe I should just, you know what, I just learned that Gemara of Adam Rishon. Maybe next week I'll learn the Gemara of Adam Rishon, the Chet of Adam Rishon. You want to learn it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to learn this Gemara?
Are you going to...
No, two Mishva is going to be
Mishva.
Yeah.
Not next week, 2 weeks from now.
Right? No, next week's 2 weeks. Next week, next week, don't have class?
Well, the first year's
why, where?
The second year's due, but.
And then the week after that is what?
The week after that, we do have class.
The week after that? So I won't be here next week then, right? I'm not going to. Second year's out. You guys want me. If you guys want me coming, I'll come in.
I'll check with the second year.
You check. I don't care. Whatever you guys want. Okay, so we'll stop here. You want to ask something else? You want me to do Shabbos candles? Shabbos candles are related to the Chet of Adam Rishon. Okay. No problem. It's okay. It's all right. We don't mind. Sit down. Do tshuva. Not 130 years. 2 minutes is good.
So you're eating it because you have to eat it with desire now. On Shabbos.
Yeah, you're supposed to. You're supposed to enjoy it. Why do you think we make good food on Shabbos? Why not? We don't believe you don't. You forget about the physical world. We get married. We have children. We're supposed to enjoy life, but the real way, not the imaginary way that people do, who they don't even enjoy life. Yeah. Okay. Next week I'll do it something easier. It was hard. The shavuot wasn't a good idea. The shavuot, right? You got it. You liked it. Yeah. Okay. So. Next week I'll give something easier. Show it to you. Oh, next week there's no shir. Pleasure. You got it? You understood the revelation?
Some of it. I mean, I'm more clear about what it actually means.
So right. You sure? Is there any other questions you have?
More clear on what it's saying.
Okay.
Is your other also having a?